Northwestern Medicine, relentless in their pursuit of better health care. Learn more at nm.org/better.
Reading from a story at CNN.com, roughly 24 hours after most people in America first heard about the Omicron variant of COVID-19, Texas Representative Ronny Jackson, the House Republican, offered a conspiracy theory to explain what was happening. Here comes the MEV, the midterm election variant, he tweeted. He's a physician. They need a reason to push unsolicited nationwide mail-in ballots, he tweeted. Democrats will do anything to cheat during an election, but we're not going to let them. And then there was this from Fox News personality Pete Hegseth. Count on a variant about every October, every 2 years. The point being, this is, if not a hoax, being blown out of proportion for political advantage. We called Dr. Kevin Most just before the show this morning, the chief medical officer at Northwestern Medicine's Central DuPage Hospital, and I started by asking Dr. Most how real or dangerous is this Omicron variant.
Well, John, I don't think we know how dangerous it is, but we certainly know how real it is. I mean, all we need to do is go to South Africa, go to the area of South Africa where this was found. And if you look at the story there, what happened, they had decreasing rates for weeks and weeks and weeks, and all of a sudden now they've had this big spike. And when they take out that big spike and they look at it and they say, oh, wait a second, this is a different virus. Now, I think it's time that we kind of set politics aside and put science at fore, but we also have to be sure that we understand we don't know a lot about this. This may not be a big deal, but it could. You know, we think it seems to be more transmissible. We think it seems to be able to give more infections. But really, the next couple of weeks are going to tell us a whole heck of a lot about this.
That's like the previous variant, too, right? That is, maybe not as bad as the original, but more transmissible?
Correct. You know, when we start to look at viruses, and, you know, everyone studied Darwinism, you know, this is survival of the fittest. So the mutation that can spread easy and continue to replicate is going to be the one that is going to survive. Now we just need to know, since it's so early in its life, is this going to have a big impact on hospitalizations, which are up in South Africa right now? And over the next couple of weeks, are we going to see, is this going to get away from our vaccines so that our vaccines are not as available or are not as powerful? And are we going to still be able to use monoclonal antibodies to treat? Mm-hmm. All of these things we don't know right now. So although it's good that we've identified it and we've made it public, I want to make sure that people don't run for the panics and say, you know what, I'm not getting a vaccine because I'm going to wait for the new Omicron vaccine. No, we need to make sure we understand that Delta is still 99% of the cases that we're seeing here in the United States.
Delta is still 99% of the cases, but the vaccine would mitigate or prevent you from getting Delta, right?
Oh, absolutely. 100%. People have to understand that the vaccine is great for Delta, and people who get that booster really have excellent protection as far as the chance of hospitalization or the chance of death. We are seeing some breakthrough cases, certainly, where you're going to have mild to moderate symptoms, but certainly not going to end up in the hospital and not on an intubator and not on ECMO.
But is it possible then that the vaccines we are taking here in the United States and around the world would have the same effect on the Omicron variant as on the Delta variant?
Which is exactly what they're testing right now. So you have both Moderna, Johnson & Johnson, Pfizer, AstraZeneca, all have the Omicron virus, and now they're testing it against their vaccine to see how well it works. That is in vitro. In other words, they're doing that in test tubes versus how does it actually work in people with neutralizing antibodies? That is going to be the question that we won't be able to answer for the next couple of weeks. Now, certainly the vaccine is not going to be perfect against it because it's not how we developed it. We developed it against a little bit of a different virus. So, but we still expect, if you listen to the experts, that we still expect that we're still going to get pretty good coverage with what little they know right now over the past, you know, week.
Mm-hmm. But what was the vaccination rate in South Africa? I wonder if this is an example not so much of the power of this variant, but the absence of vaccinations.
100%, John. If you look at the continent of Africa, 6%. Now, that's very discouraging. But then you think, oh, South Africa, a little bit more industrial. Boy, I'm sure they have much higher rates. 24%. Only 24% of South Africa has been fully vaccinated. So certainly you're talking about a large portion of the population that is no protection whatsoever. A lot of natural immunity because it ran rampant through a lot of those communities, but those are the ones that they're seeing are getting reinfected now with the new variant.
Yeah, but then one wonders then why didn't COVID-19 or the Delta variant run rampant through South Africa? What's unique about the Omicron variant?
Oh, John, it's even more fascinating than that. I mean, if anybody wants to really look at something, look at what has happened in the middle of Africa, where they've had what they call seroconversion. In other words, they've been exposed to it, but they never knew they had it. So is there something genetically, is there something in the environment that has made the middle of Africa and even into South Africa, why do they seem to be somewhat protected from this? You don't see these high death rates in Africa, nor do you see these high outbreaks, and yet the disease has been there. So it is absolutely fascinating and something that I'm sure books are being written on it right now because we don't know the answer to that.
Does this Omicron variant look like the other one? That is it a little red ball with spikes? And if if so, how is it different then? That was the thing, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And exactly what you said. Everybody sees the picture. If I say COVID, they're going to picture the ball with the spikes. And that spike protein, that's how it attaches to cells. And that's how it gets into our body and into our cells and is able to replicate. That's where the mutation is. So there's 30 mutations on that spike protein when compared to the original coronavirus. So the change there, does it make it easier to attach? Does it make it so that it attaches more tightly? Those are the things that we're going to have to find out over the next couple of weeks. Certainly it looks the same, but these mutations are little tiny changes that make it potentially more transmissible.
What do you make of what the financial markets have been doing as a result of this?
I think that they've kind of went overboard and jumped. You know, I didn't see what it did yesterday. Hopefully it came back a little bit. certainly, when we look at this and we see that this is only a disease that is in a few hundred people right now, without knowing what it is, it certainly was a kind of an overshot, I think. That being said, until we find out, is this going to be as bad as Delta or a new Delta? That is going to be the biggest concern. And if it is, then the markets probably were correct with their initial thoughts.
Mm. But when it comes to America, and do you suppose we'll get cases in America, I wonder what its transmission will be like in the United States.
Yeah, you know, when you look at the United States, right, 99.7% of these are Delta right now. Unless this is some super virus that is going to really be able to overrun the Delta, we should still be focusing on what do we need to do to curtail Delta. So I still tell people, don't focus on, boy, how many cases? We'll have cases here in the United States, I would bet you, within the next 3-4 days. Because now we're doing more testing to try to do more genomic testing than instead of the 1-2% that we're doing to show that it's all Delta. We'll start to look more for this. But don't be concerned about that right now. If we're going to need a booster, okay, then that's something that's going to be done over the next 3 months as we develop a booster for this. But right now, let's focus on what's going to keep us out of the hospital currently, which is being vaccinated to protect yourself against Delta.
Last question, Dr. Most. So say I got my vaccines, maybe even I got my booster, and then here comes the Omicron one, and maybe I'll be in line for a booster for that. Is it possible that I'm going to get too much vaccination in me and that is a problem?
No, you know, our immune system is pretty smart, so you're not going to be able to get too much. Think about the influenza shot, you know, that we're getting every year. For 4 different viruses every single year, we're getting that. Certainly any time we see a new virus that we can protect ourselves against, the vaccine is certainly going to help. So we can't overburden the immune system to say, oh, you know what, the immune system can only handle 67 viruses, and we hit 65, boy, we better be careful. Our immune system is amazing as far as what it can learn and how it can understand and remember foreign objects, whether they be viruses, bacteria, or even pollens. So certainly our immune system is smart enough to take on many, many more viruses.
Plus, we're not injecting people, in the case of people that are getting the vaccine, with a live or killed virus. We're injecting them with something else, aren't we?
Correct, 100%. You know, what we're doing is we're teaching the immune system to look for something that is foreign. It's the whole basis of immunology. And so we're not like we're doing with you know, the flu vaccine, where we send a bit portion of it You know, we're teaching the body to make a portion of it, to find it to be foreign, to make antibodies against it. So we're actually using the immune system in a much smarter way, and something, John, that fortunately can be changed very rapidly. If you think about influenza, we start making influenza virus vaccine in February so that we can give that in October. If this were to come up and say, boy, this is a much bigger concern, we could start making this now to be giving it in March.
Your point being what, that we'll have to be patient, or that's pretty quick?
That's pretty quick. You know, to make a new vaccine in 100 days and to be able to distribute it now because we have ramped up all of our production sites, you know, that's very quick, much quicker than what we did with the original vaccine.
Boy, that's the new world, too, isn't it? Everything has changed. Business, sports, education, and medicine now, we expect something pretty quick. You know, the impossible is now expected to be the common.
100%. You know, it's amazing. You know, those of us in medicine, we look at this and we're still in awe of what happened. And unfortunately, now it's commonplace for the general public. They think, oh, well, just make a new vaccine. Why don't we have a new vaccine for Delta? It's like, wow, you guys. I mean, for us, it's fascinating we got to this point as quickly as we did.
Don't want to brag, but that's Dr. Kevin Most, Chief Medical Officer over at Central DuPage Hospital, with a 300% interview.